Morning. I learned last week, Gemara said that a person should leave breadcrumbs on the table or some bread on the table when he benches, and we saw four reasons. One of the reasons the Mishnah Berurah quotes is that it shows that Hashem has given us overflowing goodness, so we have leftovers. As I mentioned last week, as Mishnah Berurah brings that in, Siman Kuf Pei, Sif Katan Bet. So I mentioned last week that there's a discussion in the Magen Avraham that whether it's proper for a person to say, I have more than I need, which at first glance seems like a tangent from our Gemara, but as we'll see, it's not. So the Magen Avraham in Siman Kuf Nun Vav, which is called Seder Masao Matan, and it's really assorted halachos that a person needs to know during the day that don't fit anywhere else in Shulchan Aruch. So the Magen Avraham says, Lo yomar adam yesh li yoter mimah shehaya ra'uy li. A person should not say, I have more than I deserve, lefi masai, according to my deeds, v'shibudi neged Hashem, and compared to what I owe to Hashem. Deem Cain, because if he says that, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran. He's saying Hashem doesn't take an accounting. Hashem lets things go. So a person shouldn't say that. Ela yisayim va, he should say, Zulat zchut avot, z'avot misayeli. If not, for zchus avos, I have more than I deserve on my own, but it's because of zchus avos. So that he's not saying that Hashem doesn't pay attention to my sins, Hashem lets things go. And the Magen Avraham quotes that name of the Yam Shel Shlomo. The Magen Avraham says, V'li nira, but to me it seems that Kadosh Baruch Hu nitein schar yoter, ach sheino mevater avira marich af. Magen Avraham says, it seems to me that there's no contradiction. A person could say, Hashem gave me more than I deserve. That doesn't mean Hashem is going to overlook my sins. Hashem will address my sins also, but Hashem still, as reward for my mitzvos, Hashem has given me more than I deserve. So that's what the Magen Avraham says. So he doesn't think there's a contradiction between saying I have more than I deserve and the idea that Hashem doesn't just let things go. So this is a Gemara in Bavastra shouldn't say Hashem is a vatran, but rather that this person should just know that Hashem is patient. So I always had a question, because all of my children were taught in elementary school, as you may know, that you have to be mevater, you have to let things go. But we're supposed to emulate Hashem. So if Hashem is not mevater, so why should we be mevater? And I have not seen anyone explicitly address this question, but I think we'll be able to answer this question after we have a better understanding of why a person should not say that Hashem is mevater. And we have three or four ways to understand this idea. First is Nefesh HaChaim, which we have mentioned here before, and which is why it turns out that this is not really a tangent at all. This is in Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Perek Yud Bet. He explains here, the Chaim Volozhin explains that person is not born with Olam Haba. And Mishnah says, the first Mishnah in our Perek, says, Kol Yisrael yesh lehem chelek le'olam haba. Nefesh HaChaim says, it doesn't say be'olam haba, but rather le'olam haba. That a person has a portion to Olam Haba, which means that a person creates his own Olam Haba. The reward for mitzvos is the Olam Haba is the reward for the mitzvos that a person creates, and likewise Gehenom is punishment for the averos which a person creates himself. And that's why Nefesh HaChaim says, that's why Chazal said, Kol Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Hu, anybody who says that Hashem is a Vatran, Hashem just lets things go, Yivatru Chayav, so his life will just be let go. And he brings that there's also Yerushalmi and in Bereishis Rabbah, which we'll come back to, and several other Midrashim. And he says, L'chore yipale, halo afilo adam ish chesed minaheg midat vatranut. A person acts with the midah of vatranut. Why doesn't Hashem act with the midah of vatranut? So he answers that based on what he said, we can understand that it's impossible for Hashem to be vater. Punishment for an avera is not something that you do an avera and therefore Hashem says, okay, now I'm going to give you punishment. Punishment for avera is something the person creates himself. He says, "Sheino al derech onish mekima chas shalom." Punishment is not it's not revenge, or the consequences for an avera is not punishment or revenge, chas shalom. Rather, ki me'et habri'ah, he brings a pasuk, chataim tirdof ra'ah. The sinners will be chased by evil. Shachet atzma hu ansho. The sin itself is the punishment. In the time of creation, Hashem arranged the way the world will run. Will all depend on a person's actions. Whether they're good or bad. A person necessarily must receive his. Din, justice. And this fixes what he damaged by in the worlds and in his nefesh, unless he does tshuva. So Hashem is not vater. Hashem doesn't just let things go because it's a cause and effect. Later in Perek Bet, in Shar Bet, Perek Chet, he discusses this again, and he says, if a person eats food that's bad for him, or eats poison, okay, we don't say, we don't say that Hashem brought him a stomachache as a punishment for eating poison or eating spoiled food. It follows immediately. It follows naturally from, one second. It follows naturally from the eating something bad to having a stomachache. And so too, it follows naturally from doing an avera to having negative consequences. And therefore, you can't say Hashem lets things go, because obviously, it doesn't work that way. Now, there is tshuva. If tshuva would be like a person taking eating poison and then taking the antidote to the poison, but otherwise, unless you take the antidote, if you eat the poison, then it has its consequences, and if you do the avera, it has its consequences, and therefore you can't say that Hashem is vater. So that's what Nefesh HaChaim says, and it makes this agadata that seemingly had nothing to do with our Gemara about leaving food on the table to show that we have more than we need. It makes it tie back a little bit to being in our parak. One of the Mefarshim on Nefesh HaChaim, as well as other Musar Svarim, ask question. So if we say that Hashem is not vater, Hashem is not doesn't just let things go, then what's the idea of rachamim? say that Hashem has rachamim. So, in the commentary Yiras Chaim by Rav Elia Weintraub, Rav Elia Weintraub was the mekubal who Rav Shach would send people to for a bracha. He was born in Brooklyn, I believe, but lived, made Aliyah at some point and lived in Bnei Brak, passed away in the 2000s, I don't remember exactly when. So he says, "Inyan harachamim b'din ein zevatranut." When Hashem does rachamim in justice, that's not vatranut. That's not just letting things go. And he brings, for example, the example of blow the shofar, and that causes rachamim. It's because Hashem built into the system that doing a mitzvah will awaken the schus avos. As we saw, the Magen Avraham brings the Yam Shel Shlomo. He says a person shouldn't say, "I have more than I deserve." He should say, "I have more than I deserve on my own, but I have schus avos." And once there's schus avos involved, then it's not just Hashem being easygoing, Hashem giving in, but now a person deserves it because of schus avos, which Michtam Eliyahu explains in greater depth the whole concept of schus avos. And he says that, so one of the things that Michtam Eliyahu says, this is the very beginning of Sefer Michtam Eliyahu, imagine that two kids come to court with exactly the same charges. And everything is the same, except one comes from a good family and one doesn't come from a good family. So today, they would say it's discrimination to treat them differently. Michtam Eliyahu and Chazal beg to differ. There's a very logical reason to treat them differently. A kid who comes from a good family, we know that the family will be an influence on him. And if we're lenient on him, that there's hope because of schus avos that he will improve. Whereas a kid who doesn't have good influences, so he's just going to continue in his bad ways. So that is part of the idea of schus avos. But in the course of this, the Michtam Eliyahu says in Chelek Aleph, page 13, he says, we have these concepts of Midas Adin and Midas Arachamim. And on the superficial level, we think Midas Adin means Hashem is strict and Hashem follows the letter of the law. And Midas Arachamim means that Hashem is lenient and doesn't follow the letter of the law. But he says that that's not a correct understanding. When Rachamim is warranted, then din, justice, requires following rachamim. If it's right to be lenient, then that's din. And on the other hand, when it's wrong to be lenient, then din requires not being lenient. So he says, gam rachamim, gam vemet, I'm sorry, achen vemet gam rachamim yomru kacha, ki ma betza im lo yanishuhu. Midas rachamim will say, what's the purpose of not punishing someone if it's not in his best interest? If it's in his best interest to be punished, then that is rachamim, that is mercy. To be strict is merciful. A person who is, Rambam says, a person who is kind when it's appropriate to be cruel is not being kind, he's being cruel. On the other hand, a person who's cruel when it's appropriate to be kind is also not doing the right thing. But there are times when it's appropriate to be cruel, so to speak. We call it tough love.
From many years ago, there was a pop song. The chorus was cruel to be kind.
And that's true. So they must learn the Rambam. There are times when it's cruel to be kind. And it's another concept that our society has lost. But
it seems to be taking them into account the future, not just what happened, and the two people in the Marshall, the two people who did the exact same thing, is taking into account the future, since the first one is going to come from a good family, he's going to be influenced by the family. It's a strong possibility he will do tshuva, as opposed to just at this exact moment.
That's right. True. That's true. Hashem doesn't punish based on the future, but Hashem is patient. That's the idea. Hashem is patient, and he says, brings the Gemara that we mentioned that Kol Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu Vatran. A person says, and he explains, if a person says that Hashem lets things go for no reason, then Yivatru Chayoi, then his life will be let go. Okay. Hashem does let things go. Hashem doesn't let things go for no reason. It's all for a reason, because sometimes that's what din calls for. Din calls for rachamim. Din says there's no point in punishing a person right now. Okay. It's more appropriate to be patient now. He addresses this again in Chelek Gimel, page 336. He says that Ein ze midat harachamim lislach bli cheshbon. It's not rachamim to forgive someone for no reason. Ki gvul harachamim hu gam kin rachamim. Putting a limit. I just skipped about 15 lines on page 336. He says Ein ze midat harachamim lislach bli cheshbon. And lower down on the page, he says Ki gvul harachamim hu gam kin rachamim. Putting a limit on rachamim is also rachamim. It's a neged rachamim, and to go kineged rachamim, and to do contrary, to just randomly act with rachamim is not rachamim. It's not appropriate for the situation. I remember Rabbi Winters at Zatzal once gave a sermon against the bumper stickers that call for random acts of kindness. I don't remember what he said, but this idea fits very well with it, that kindness should not be random. Kindness should be thought out. It should be logical. It should be appropriate for the situation. To just, you know, drag an old lady across the street when she might not want to cross the street is not kindness. It's not an act of kindness. A random act of kindness is not an act of kindness. Kindness should be appropriate for the situation, and it should be thought out first whether it is warranted. I don't mean to attribute that interpretation to Rabbi Winter. I don't remember what he said. I just remember that there was such a drasha, but that essentially is what Mechtam Eliyahu is saying and how he's interpreting the Gemara. Hashem is not a vatran. Hashem doesn't do anything for nothing. Everything has a reason why Hashem does the way he does.
I'm not sure that whole concept in the matter doesn't. I don't think it meant like dragging old lady across the street.
I know. I was exaggerating.
Talking about like so. I was exaggerating. It's an easy thing to do like that. So I'm at the post office a lot there. And sometimes I got my hat on. Usually I take it off because it's on the post office. I'm wearing my yarmulke. One time I see somebody coming with big packages. I hold the door for them.
That's not a random act of kindness. That's a perfectly logical thing to do.
It's a random. I could be in a rush here. So I'm waiting. Okay. So I use it.
All right.
So we got Kiddush Hashem.
Okay. The point is Jews. The point is.
It's
the point is. The point is that. The word, I think what Rabbi Winter's point was, that a Jew should not do anything randomly. Everything should be with a calculation. What you just described is a calculation. I see somebody carrying a big package into the post office. I have an opportunity to make a Kiddush Hashem, so I hold the door. That's a calculation.
I guess it depends how you define random. I didn't plan it in advance when I read.
Well, look, there's a dictionary definition of random. Look it up. But anyway, that's a tangent. Rabbi Yechezkel Levenstein in Or Yechezkel Emunah, page Reshut Gimel, says similarly, Davitur Eino Ma'alav Shevach Ela Lehefach chesron va'onish gasher yivater lo yagia l'shlemut u'dvekut. So it's taking the same idea a little farther. I couldn't decide when I prepared the shiur whether to consider this a separate reason or for not saying Hashem is mevater or part of the same reason. He says that it's not a good thing. It's not praiseworthy. We're not praising Hashem if we would say that Hashem is mevater, because if Hashem would be mevater, then the person who sinned would never reach his ultimate perfection. He would never correct what needed to be corrected. And that's not in a person's interests. Sifsei Chaim says, in, there are two different editions of Chelak Aleph of Moadim. I have the original edition. It's on page Samach Tet. In later editions, I think it's on page Ayin Hey. So he says that Nimtzenu Lemedim Yesod Gadol B'Mahut Hadin. We learned from the discussion he was having a great foundation regarding justice. Mishpat Hashem hu tikkun. Hashem's justice is a tikkun. It fixes the problem. We would think it's better to get clemency without justice, without a din. But that would leave a person without a tikkun. And that's why, brings in a footnote, that if a person says that Hashem is mivater, that this comes from a lack of understanding of how good din is. Now, Chazal tell us that if Hashem would act solely with din, we would not be able to withstand it. So out of necessity, Hashem combines rachamim and din, which Mechtav Eliyahu says is itself a form of din. But even without the Mechtav Eliyahu, we acknowledge that Hashem combines rachamim with din, but we need to understand that what is in our best interests is din. And therefore, it's not a praise of Hashem to say, oh, Hashem's easygoing, Hashem lets things go, because Hashem would not be doing us a favor if that's what he did. As an aside, I mentioned that there are two different editions of the first volume of Sifsei Chaim on Moadim, with different page numbers. I have always had great admiration for the publishers of the Sifsei Chaim for doing something that I've never seen any other publisher do. And that is, usually, they publish a sefer, and then they find more things from that author that they want to include in the sefer. They republish the sefer and add new stuff. And you have to buy the new edition, even though you already own 85% of it. You have to buy the new one to get the 15% that's new. The publishers of Sifsei Chaim did something different. They published a new edition with new stuff, new material, and they published, for the benefit of those who bought the first edition, they published a volume 1A, okay, an addendum. So you could either buy the entire new first volume again, or if you already had the first volume like I did, you could buy the addendum separately and not have to buy it again. And if any publishers are listening, I strongly, strongly encourage you to do that. It's a very menschlich thing to do. The Altar of Kelm in Chochma u'Musar, page Shin, explains in greater depth the idea that a person should not say Hashem is a vatran. We know that Hashem created the world because Hashem had no need to create the world. Hashem created the world because Hashem is kind, and Hashem is good, and a person who's good and kind wants to share his goodness and kindness. So Hashem created someone to share his goodness and kindness with. Now, you have to phrase this carefully so it doesn't sound like Hashem had a need to do good, because Hashem doesn't have a need to do good. The Kubbalim explain exactly the right way to phrase it so it doesn't sound like Hashem had a need to do good, but Hashem, it's in the nature of someone who's good to do good. So Hashem created the world, but Hashem did not create the world in such a way that he just pours goodness on it. He created the world in such a way that we have to earn his goodness. And the reason for that is that people appreciate what they earn more than they appreciate what's given to them. At least a healthy person appreciates what he earns more than he appreciates what's just handed to him. So Hashem gave us a Yetzer Hara and gave us challenges so that we could earn his goodness. And the language that the Zohar uses to describe what would happen if we just got Hashem's goodness for nothing is Nahama de Kisufa, the bread of embarrassment. So the Altar of Kelm refers to this, and he says, Vitur hu nama de Kisufa. If Hashem would just give us things for nothing, if Hashem would just let our sins go for no reason, that would be nama de Kisufa. That would be the bread of embarrassment. Okay? Therefore, it's impossible, according to Hashem's own plan, it's impossible for Hashem to just let things go. Because Hashem created the world with the plan that we would earn our reward and we would deserve his goodness, and therefore it would be contrary to his plan for the world, and it would be a lack of goodness for Hashem to give us to just let our sins go and give us goodness for nothing. Now, based on that, I think we could answer the question that I asked at the beginning, which is, my children were all taught in elementary school that it's a good midah to be mevater. But if Hashem's not mevater, why should we be mevater? Okay. We're supposed to emulate Hashem. So one possible answer is, well, now we understand that it's in our own interest that Hashem is not mevater. It's all with a calculation. Hashem is not mevater because it's better for us that Hashem not be mevater. Hashem doesn't want to give us nama de kisufa, bread of embarrassment. Hashem wants us as Yechezkel says, if Hashem would be mevater, we would never achieve perfection. We would never correct our sins. Okay. In contrast, if a person offends me, or if a person gets the last piece of apple pie, and I am not mevater, okay, I'm not doing that for his own good. I'm not fixing him. I'm not helping him out. I'm not helping him correct problems. It's all about me. I'm not mivater because I'm worried about me. Okay. That's a completely different concept than talking. It's almost the opposite. And therefore. Person can't say, I'm emulating Hashem, I'm not mevater. They're two totally, totally different concepts. Okay. Another explanation from Rav Yerucham, Mashgiach Lemir, in Das Torah on Sefer Shmos, Perek Resh Chavchet, takes the idea even deeper. And he says that he's addressing the pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim. If a person steals, he should pay five. If he steals cattle and shechts it or sells it, he pays five times what he stole. If he steals a sheep and shechts it or sells it, he pays four times what he stole. So Rashi quotes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who says, why do you pay more if you steal a shor than if you steal tzon? Because if you steal an ox, it walks along with you. If you steal a sheep, then you carry it. And Hashem had mercy on the person who had to carry the sheep, and therefore his punishment is less. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says. So Rabbi Yerucham says that this gives us tremendous insight into the how precise Hashem's judgment is. Hashem takes into account every single detail of how the sin was done, and the judgment is given accordingly. So the person, because he suffered a little bit of embarrassment or discomfort carrying the sheep, his punishment is less. Okay. That's what it means. Hashem is not mevater. Hashem doesn't overlook a single detail. A person shouldn't think, I'm basically okay. It's like the story we mentioned in the previous year. I don't remember the context, but some apikoros came to the Vilna Gaon, and after he left, Vilna Gaon said to his students, he thinks that after 120 years, he's going to have to deal with Hashem because he's an apikoros. And he had these, he's going to have to explain to Hashem why he had these heretical ideas. He's also going to have to explain to Hashem why he didn't wash negelvasser and why he didn't wear tzitzis. Hashem accounts for every single detail. If a person says that Hashem is a vatran, Hashem is easygoing and doesn't account for every single detail, the person will be punished for that. Okay. And that is how Rav Yerucham explains the idea that a person should not say Hashem is a vatran. According to that, we could also answer our question of why should I be mevater if Hashem is not mevater? We are not capable of judging as precisely as Hashem does. Okay. So if a person could say, I'm not mevater because I'm going to get you back exactly in every detail the way you offended me, maybe that would be appropriate, but we're not capable of that. And when we're not mevater, we usually overdo it. We overreact. We don't take into account exactly the good and the bad that the person did, and therefore we cannot emulate Hashem. It's impossible for us to emulate Hashem.
Even if you could get the person back exactly the way you'd be violating taking revenge.
Not necessarily. There are halachos about when it's not permitted to take revenge and when it might be permitted to take revenge. You can look in Sefer Chavetz Chaim in the list.
I don't know all the details, but it's limited. It's not somebody took the last piece of apple cake, and so you're going to
even
the last piece of apple cake out. For
there's even a machlokas. The example the Gemara gives of not taking revenge is, don't say, since you didn't lend me your lawnmower, I'm not going to lend you my snow shovel. Okay? That's, you're not allowed to take revenge. There's a machlokas in Rishonim whether it is limited to that type of situation. If you offended me, am I allowed to offend you back? It's a machlokas Rishonim. And we discussed this in the Friday night Chavetz Chaim class way back when, and not within the last couple of years, I remember we discussed it. So That is a similar idea about the difference between us and Hashem. Rav Chanan Wasserman says, we're not supposed to speak Lashon Hara. The Torah is full of Lashon Hara. The Torah says, remember what Miriam did so you don't speak Lashon Hara like she did. Isn't that Lashon Hara? Isn't the Torah telling us what Miriam did? Isn't that Lashon Hara? So Rav Chanan Wasserman says, explains, the halacha is you're not allowed to speak Lashon Hara even if it's true. Why? Because what we think is true is never the truth. We don't know every detail. We don't see the whole story. So even when we think we're telling the truth, we're not really telling the truth. That logic doesn't apply to Hashem. Hashem does know the whole story. Hashem knows the exact truth. And therefore, it's okay for Hashem to tell the truth, even though it seems to be Lashon Hara. Because it's only we who are not allowed to speak Lashon Hara even when it's true, because even when we think it's true, it's not really true, because we're inevitably missing details, missing some aspect of the story. So it's only related in the sense of we see that another example of where we don't emulate Hashem because we're not capable of emulating Hashem. Hashem is, by definition, different than we are. So we have there three or four, depending on how you break them down, different ways of understanding the idea that Hashem should not say that a person is mevater, and based on the Nefesh HaChaim, again, it ties back to our Gemara, because back to our Mishnah, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba, you create your own Olam Haba, you create your own reward and punishment, and therefore, he says, Hashem could not be mevater, because it's just the natural consequence of what you did. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we will continue in the Gemara and go back to the subject of Kiyas HaMeisim.